to run this meeting, and by double default, I have three votes. And I feel like I'm at home because I'm talking and nobody's listening.
Who are you representing?
I've got, Skeen's not on UPC, he's on SWAT, but I've got Bittman's vote. Proxy. Yeah, because Skeen doesn't have a vote in. I don't have his proxy. Do we have a quorum?
Here's Stephen Foot's proxy. So should we
Okay.
You have two.
All right, that's cool. All right, did anybody have any concern with the minutes that are found at tab A?
Scott Sweat. You're Sim Gill's proxy.
You have Sim Gill's proxy, okay. That doesn't mean you have the same license. Never mind. Okay, off we go. All right, hearing no comments with regard to the minutes, we'll proceed on to talking about the conferences, Bob and Marilyn.
Was there a motion for the minutes?
Deferring to Mr. Boyden, as the Robert's Rules of Orders, if there's no corrections, then there... Or what?
Corrections or additions?
Corrections or additions.
Isn't that redundant?
I don't know, it's tradition.
Okay.
Marilyn, is that a handout for this meeting? Can I help hand it out?
You bet.
Unless you prefer a motion, I can do a motion.
No, I've heard
Okay, let's proceed to UPC conferences, Bob and Marilyn.
Okay. The only conference that we have had since the last council meeting was spring. Attendance was down just in terms of numbers of officers that came. We had fewer than normal. We were kind of biting our nails a little bit just to make sure that we were going to break even.
Any reason why? Do we know?
I speculated in the notes is that because we had the regional trainings this year that we really didn't send as many officers. What we're seeing is that the law enforcement agencies themselves are downloading UPC's materials, the crime summaries that are drafted and training themselves, as well as Scott Reed. He used our materials and went down to St. George and trained the narcotics task force. So maybe that's a reason why. Just one thing to let everybody know, Judge Lowe presented on the disability presentation. If you weren't from Utah County, you absolutely loved it, thought it was the best you've ever heard. Apparently there were some attorneys down in Utah County that took exception to that. So just, that was the only, wouldn't call it controversial thing, but the only issue.
I know, we're always
going to
get the reps out
of there. Well, some of the examples I think that he used.
The examples that he used involved one of our attorneys, and I think it's kind of felt it. Maybe some of the facts
weren't
accurate or something like that. So, but you know, he took his, I think he took it from the decision, so he made sure it wasn't there.
All right, but overall, spring was good. So that is past conferences. Oh, upcoming conferences, let's see, that is on tab B. There in the agenda, or in the director's summary, is basically, this is all the remaining conferences throughout the year. So the next one is UPAA, that is next week. Marilyn can either report on that now, or if you want to wait until we do UPAA, which is further down, okay? OOMPA, remember that this is for misdemeanor prosecutors, so county attorneys, if you've got those attorneys in your offices that are doing misdemeanor work, we encourage you to send them, especially if you've got new attorneys that are doing DUI. Let's see, Thursday afternoon is going to be a wet lab. So if you've got new prosecutors that have never seen that done, this would be a great opportunity for them to come down to Moab. Basic is in August. We're squared away for that fall conference. That is a visual, or the theme is a visual trial. We're bringing in a speaker from Chicago. I forgot to put his name in here, Mark Schlifka, I think. forward to that. The training committee that meets in October. So if you guys have any suggestions for the training committee, Mr. Garside is the chair of that committee, so you can funnel any recommendations to him. Civil conference is then in October. We've got a good agenda for there. For civil as well as the white collar crime conference. White collar crime in the director's summary, that is the wrong date, November 5th, it's actually November 12th. That's a typo on my part. But we have a keynote speaker for both those conferences, it's the same attorney. He's from an international firm in DC, has been relocated here to Utah. He's an expert on e-discovery, exfoliation. Hopefully those exfoliation means something to some of you, but he's agreed to speak to us for free, so we're excited about that. And then the county executive seminar in November. So those are what we've got throughout the end of this calendar year.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Let's go right to the financial report.
All right. The surcharge. Surcharge keeps going down. Well, it's fluctuating, and so you can see the numbers for May, well, actually since the last meeting. So April's total of the surcharge was $57,988, and then May's amount was $49,000, so you know, I don't do math very well, what's that, $7,000 drop.
Yeah.
I'm projecting for June that we're going to be maybe $51,000 if we're lucky, Jen.
Does anyone know if justice courts do better than district courts in raising that, since our cases are all coming down to justice courts? Is that maybe going to help, or do we even know?
They do a lot better in collecting, but here's the problem. The State Office of Debt Collection is now soliciting justice courts to allow them to collect their delinquent stuff.
They take their cut?
Well, they don't collect, and if they do collect, then they take their cut. So. I'm just hoping that justice courts don't take the bait and they keep doing their own.
Because it seems like those numbers could go up with the drug charges going to the justice court level if justice courts are better at collecting surcharges. In our county, I think justice courts, they're money-making courts, and so our justice court is really good at getting a surcharge, I think, and our district court doesn't worry about it too much. So.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at on the surcharge report down in that left-hand corner, I mean, you can see what... Well, let's see. The total year-to-date receipts from the justice courts is $14 million, compared to only $3 million from state courts. So, I mean, the justice court historically collects more, just whether or not they're better at it, I don't know.
They are better at it because they don't, your district court judges say, you know, make your peace with state debt collection. I'm sending this to state debt collection.
Well, and I guess it depends on the justice court. I know Orem's, he would do that as well. He just
really?
Sent it to state office, so.
Most of the ones I... do, they'll bring them in on contempt for failure to pay their fines.
That may be something for us to think of. If there's something that our justice court prosecutors could do or say that would help that in the future, since we're relying so much on that money, if there's some colloquy or something we say or do to make sure the surcharge is included on the sentences, our justice court never misses it, but I just wondered if there was a strategy there, because I mean, this is what funds us, and so if there's a little thing we could do at the justice court level, when we get a conviction or a plea bargain or something.
Well, maybe even at the district court level, we'll say that we'll terminate your probation early if your fines are paid timely. Mm-hmm. We could do that as well.
Something to think about for future meetings, maybe.
And along those same lines, as I mentioned to you, maybe what we need to do is contact Post, because they got House Bill 85 passed this last year, because Post is also financed by this, but they also had another bill passed through that the legislature can give them up to $500,000 a year if their surcharge isn't, if they don't meet how much they need under the surcharge. It's up to $500,000. It came out of a vehicle registration fund. And so maybe we contact Post, see what their strategy was, and maybe we mirror that so that we can at least have our
that's a good idea.
Reliable funding each year. Okay. Anyway, so House Bill 85
okay.
And Post.
We'll look at that. I mean, what... Do you guys know in your justice courts, is the judge imposing an additional surcharge on top of the fine, or is he just imposing the fine, which includes the surcharge? That's what he does in Orem. I mean, that's what it's historically been. So $500 your fine, that includes the surcharge as opposed to tacking on the additional surcharge.
I think almost all of them are saying it includes it. Yeah. That's my experience even in the district court.
So did I misunderstand you, Jan? Is your judge actually applying plus the surcharge?
Dean Saunders comes up and does ours for us, but it's my impression that he gets every dime he can.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know if he says the fine plus 5% or whatever the surcharge
right.
is.
Okay.
He is aggressive in getting a surcharge.
Okay. On tab D, this is the comparison report where we're at right now. Because I knew we wouldn't have a whole lot of time, I tried to highlight maybe what some of your questions will be. So if I miss something, please let me know. We can talk about it. The PIMS income was actually more this year than what I had budgeted for last year, because I thought that we would get a case management system statewide. So we've got more jurisdictions than expected that have stayed with PIMS. Now, I still have budgeted about the same amount that I did last year, thinking that we're getting more and more counties and cities that are leaving. So I want to keep the projected income on PIMS low. Conference materials was more than we had expected. A year ago, we purchased some jackets. They're 3/4 zip-up jackets. They're Weber State Blue, Diamondback Blue, Colorado Rocky Purple, excuse me. They're really sharp. We're waiting. We got the new logo. Well, the bid that we got didn't include embroidery, so that's why that is a little bit higher. The Tribal Council calendars that hopefully you all got, they were a little more expensive than we thought this year. SVRP training with Donna. I had only budgeted $500 for the year, but Donna had been invited to attend, to speak in Dallas, and attended a conference in New Orleans. Because I had budgeted so much for regional training and the legislative updates, we just transferred the funds from that over. But I felt it was important for Donna to go to these conferences, get some exposure, learn what's going on with the sexual assault informed trauma, and she's been able to bring that back to the state, like Sim was talking about this morning in UCBAA. So that's why Donna is so over the top. But it won't be that way next year. She's been invited back to Dallas as well as to Washington, D.C., but both of those conferences, they will pay the entire expense for that. So I don't foresee.
As they should.
Expense in Dallas.
I am a bargain at twice the price.
You should be charging.
Well, and
we have talked about that.
Yeah, we'll get to that here in just a second. Council meetings was a little bit over what we budgeted. It's just expensive to feed and house and pay mileage for council members, so I increased that amount for this next year. Same thing with the training committee. The biggest expense was mileage, getting everyone down to St. George. Out-of-state travel for NAPC, that is my counterpart's conference. Traditionally, Marilyn and I go, and Ed has gone in the summer, Don has gone in the fall. I think Donna acknowledged that maybe it's not as useful a conference for her to attend, so she probably won't be attending this next year, so that will be down, and so we can answer any questions on that.
It's worth noting that all of my travel is paid for.
Thank you, yeah, right. And actually, since you brought that up, that's just something that I need to look at is how we're accounting for Ed's reimbursable expenses, is I don't know that it's accurately reflected in the budget. So I'll just give you a heads up that in September, I may come back with the actual budget, once we get in all of June's numbers, that may change a little bit, or we may change how we account for Ed's reimbursable expenses within the budget. Personnel services are about 100%. The benefits are slightly over. This is because there's a variable amount. It's due to an overlapping between the old and new fiscal years. But once we get everything in, that will all settle at about 100%. So those were the big areas that I saw that we were either over or under in the comparison report. Does anybody have any specific questions? Let's see, the detailed expense report for spring, that's a tab E. So you can see that we budgeted $27,000. We exceeded that by $450 for the registration fees. Our expenses came in a little bit under, so we netted $3,300. So we felt pretty good about that.
Okay.
Do we have a motion or anything?
Yeah, let's take a motion to adopt the budget and the finance report.
So moved.
Okay, do I have a second? Second by who should second this? Paul Bittman?
Sure.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you.
Okay. The budget. Again, I apologize that the budget only came out yesterday afternoon. I'll just let you know is when I ran the budget, sexual assault numbers, DV assault, it was pulling in numbers and I couldn't figure out why and where. I went so far as to contact a private IT guy to come in and fix it, but Marilyn suggested I call Mark. Mark didn't know how to fix it, but he made me think of something, and I went in, and somehow numbers from 2012 had infiltrated into the program, so I had to go and delete that. But I didn't get that resolved until just Wednesday night. So if you're looking at the budget for the first time, I apologize.
You have more copies out here.
Is that?
Yes.
Okay, Marilyn, we'll get that. Okay. Just to let you know is I put in here that I met with the finance guys at the AG's office just because this isn't my forte. I just want to make sure that I did it right. And so the first time I ran the numbers, I did a projection, and it came out that we were going to be in exceeding the $628,000 that were appropriated. I realized that did not happen, so I had to go back to the drawing board. I went and looked at what I did last year based on Mark's advice. His advice was to take the year-to-date numbers, project what June would be, and add 5% to that, and that's what my budget was last year. So that's what I did for this year. And so the amount that I am budgeting against $593,585.28. So in terms of the summary here, I just went through the way that it's listed on the budget. So Donna's expense reimbursements, Donna's grant reimbursements continue to go down. And so this year, UPC is footing $28,697.39 of Donna's salary. I expect that trend to continue to go down. And so UPC will be absorbing a larger percentage of her salary, which is we need to continue to do. Ed's grant pays for 90% of his total salary, so UPC will be paying $12,127.33. I talked about the PIMS user fee income. The surcharge, so I explained how much I think what I'm budgeting against for the surcharge. Non-lapsing funds, the $48,881 that's reflected there, that is an average from the last 5 years. So hopefully that will remain true. Last year we actually got $51,000, so we'll hope that maybe we get a little bit more. The legislative update. Last year I budgeted $7,000, but the huge cost for that was duplicating the legislative summary for all the officers in the states, and because we couldn't afford to do that, or even though I budgeted for it, we didn't want to do that, so we made everybody print their own or get it electronically. So that's why we only spent a fraction of what was budgeted. So I dropped that down to $1,500 for the legislative updates, and I think that we'll very easily be able to continue the legislative updates for that $1,500 amount. Train the trainers, even though we need to do it, there was no money in the budget to do it this year. NHTSA will be making available one grant in the amount of $20,000 to hold Train the Trainer. So I'll be applying for that along with everybody else in the country. But if we get that, then we'll hopefully be able to do Train the Trainer this year. But we're getting desperate. It's been 5 years since we've held the Train the Trainer.
No way.
Yeah, at least.
It was you and I.
Yeah,
we have
read it together.
Since
2011.
Yeah, it was
in the middle of the
canyon.
So by the time we have it again, it'll be
6 or 7 years.
Still on.
I still haven't recovered.
And just as a fallback position, if you don't get that, and maybe I can talk to you for a minute, what would people think about spending money to send selected prosecutors to an out-of-state trainer that another state is putting on?
And I think that has happened in the past. No. In our class, we had
people from Idaho.
People from other states coming.
Yeah. And I think that's a good idea. Is maybe we want to look at that. But again, I think that's for the council to decide if we want to spend that kind of money. Because the corollary to that is traditionally we have not invited people to speak at conferences and particularly train at basic if they haven't been through Train the Trainer, but we're starting to dwindle and, you know, people that have done that. And so we're either going to need to relax our standards as to who we invite, you know, to speak and to train at basic, or, you know, we need to find some of these other solutions, and maybe that's a good one, what Ed's suggesting. So keep that in mind as we go through the budget. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, I was able to include our budget in $5,000 from incentive awards for UPC staff. When we get down to the bottom of the agenda, we're still in up in the air as to UPC employee status, but the fact remains is that the AG's office cannot or will not use their funds that they have for incentive awards for UPC staff. So I budgeted that in, but certainly, you know, we may need to use that for other expenses. Unusual prosecution expenses, again, I wasn't able to budget anything. I was hoping to do $15,000 this year, but that wasn't in there. Number nine, UPPAC, if the council approves the creation of the Policy Advisory Board, then that money would be used for mileage, catering supplies, etc. If that doesn't pass, then that $1,000 will go back into the budget. But based on all those numbers and you know, everything here, I'm projecting a net income of $891.53. Let's see. So that's the budget. Do we want to talk about what the next area of my summary is talking about, you know, ways to try to bump up the income for UPC. We want to talk about that before we adopt the budget. We adopt the budget, understanding that it may change come September.
Yeah, let's go ahead and adopt it now. Sure. Motion to adopt the budget is presented. Any questions on any of those before we do that? Yeah. Okay, motion to adopt the budget is presented.
Okay.
I don't have one yet.
I'll make the motion.
All right, Barry. Oh, second? Second by Jen. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye.
Okay, so we brainstormed and talked about ways to, you know, possibly increase, and, you know, we all need to look at some of these issues, but be that as it may. So number one is increasing the registration fees for conference. Currently, we charge public employees, that's cops, prosecutors, paralegals, $75. And then for private employees, it's 150. Usually, you know, we get, I don't know, about a dozen defense counsel at spring conference.
Yeah, we're getting that.
So, you know, there's that possibility. Just to throw this out, the CJC symposium, which was, 2 weeks ago, the registration for that conference was 95. And they had, 600 plus people, 700 people. You know, maybe we could go up $15, $20 and not see a big complaint, but just that was the first idea. Number two is historically we have been, UPC has been paying the lodging costs for the students at BASIC, and that's a big expense. Marilyn said that we've only been doing that for...
We haven't been doing that very long, and we started doing that when we had money, and it was kind of a courtesy or help, you know, help your offices get your people there, but...
I mean, it's a big expense, and so is that something that we want to continue doing, or we want to say we'll pay your per diem, and, you know, if your offices pick up your lodging costs, again, it's just an idea. I mean, for those of you that have to send prosecutors to BASIC, I mean, how would you feel if UPC comes and says, we're no longer going to pay for lodging? Will that limit the number of attorneys you would send?
You know, I don't know. I might be more comfortable saying don't pay for lodging than to say let's raise the cost of all the other trainings again. Mm-hmm. Is my initial thought. But
okay.
I don't know what everybody else thinks.
So what is the lodging? What are the charges up there?
We
what are the charges up there in Aggieville?
It's $75 for their rooms.
Times five nights.
I mean, the counties or the cities would still get the same rate, right?
Yeah, it's the same. It's just the same rate.
I haven't seen issues with stopping that. I
Yeah, lodging last year was $9,078.26.
For students only?
That's for basic.
That's basic.
Students, or was that faculty?
Well, that includes, I mean, we'd still pay for faculty, so.
I mean, I guess that's the question, is how much of a difference we're paying for.
Right, I mean, several thousand dollars. Okay, so there's that idea. Okay, the next one is, because, like I said, paying for mileage for you all to travel to meetings. So a suggestion is, when we have meetings along the Wasatch Front, we'd ask your offices to pay for mileage. Whereas when we're, you know, like here in Morgan or down south, someplace off the Wasatch Front, then we could continue to pay mileage. Another thought is we could hold all the conferences along the Wasatch Front. I wanted to cut down, you know, travel-related costs, and then with the intent to co-sponsor more conferences with Salt Lake County. Rich Hamp is their new training coordinator, and he's very eager to work with UPC. The advantage of, well, there's a lot of advantages to doing that, but the big one is we can get training facilities in Salt Lake County for free if Salt Lake County co-sponsors. So, for example, the White Collar Crime Conference in November is going to be at the Viridian Center. It's the library in West Jordan. Just from the pictures, it's, you know, beautiful. We're getting it for free. So that would be an option. But I know that people like to get away, and that's kind of their paid vacation, is to go to Cedar, go to Zion's, you know, go wherever for a conference. But that would also be another cost of savings.
Bob, do you know what the Salt Lake DA budget is for training, doing trainings?
I don't.
It seems to me like they have money. I mean, I don't know, but I've been asked to help them plan a sexual assault conference that we're going to do this fall, and they are going to spend $25,000,
right,
on a 1-day conference.
Yeah, and Sim had mentioned that this morning before you got here. I mean, so that you know, maybe we do is just hold more conferences locally for a year or two. So again, that's an idea.
I have a question. Spring conference seemed to pay for itself. Is that a fair statement? How do the other conferences do? Do they pay for themselves? I mean, are we looking to take money from conference registration to pay for some of our other expenses? Or do some conferences just lose us money because they're...
It depends. Most of them do, to answer your question in short. Most conferences do pay for themselves. But it depends on the... if speakers want to bring a panel, or, you know, if there's just more speakers and we're, say, in Moab or St. George, civil conference tends to be a little high because it's further away, and sometimes we have surprise speakers that show up, or we just plan on them. So mileage is a big deal.
Right. So, here, let me just go through a couple of the conferences. So, for example, basic. We have to pay $1,600 for a facilities charge. Then there was the lodging. With civil, we paid $1,000 facilities charge, $2,800 in lodging. And then mileage for that was almost $3,000. Let's see, fall conference, facility charge was $2,600. Lodging was $2,600. And so, I mean, it's what we would be looking at is we wouldn't be having to pay that facilities charge. You know, the lodging would certainly go down, as well as mileage. So, I mean, there's potentially some big savings if we, you know, were to co-sponsor everything with Salt Lake and do it on the Wasatch Front and do it in Salt Lake. So, again, I'm not suggesting that that's the answer. I'm just saying that, you know, that is a possibility. And we may not be getting to that point just yet, but I think it's important, you know, that we discuss this. Number six is no more UPC swag, meaning no more calendars, shirts, briefcases, etc. I hate to see that. I had somebody this morning already ask us, where's the hats and, you know, all the swag that UPC used to do, so, but that is an option. Number seven, UPAA. UPC budgets $12,000 for their conference, well, for UPAA throughout the course of the year. So that pays for their conference as well as mileage, catering for the meetings that they have. But they're also currently keeping their registration fees, which this year is about $5,600. And so as much as Marilyn would hate to do that,